broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
It really is a very tough thing to do in the military.
Our colleagues in the House added a lot on to that to subtract from the
genuine pictures. I really wanted to go because I'm originally from Germany.
We do not know if his whole body is light or not.
Did you really write this yourself with a typewriter?
Don't condescend to me.
Things are bad. World famous Phil Hendry show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast from the El Pacifico here, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. Through the looking glass we go every night here. This is the show where reality is our bitch. I want to thank Kurt Quede and Guy Barton for being our very special guests and talking about the health care bill and whether or not if they make abortion available to all women, rich and poor, suddenly it's going to be very high in demand. And of course, our intelligence officer from the CID, Bud, as we found out.
Yeah, that's the Army people.
Right, the CID. They said they had a female Army intelligence officer dressed as a virgin, so when that guy came out of his coma, he'd think he was in heaven, and he'd spill what he knew.
That was the idea, anyway.
I don't understand that, man. I don't understand it either, if you want my honest opinion. But that's why he's in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, the CAP, and not the CID. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Flu shots for Wall Street stirs ire in New York. New York City health officials scrambled to explain themselves last week in the wake of media reports about bankers who got scarce H1N1 flu vaccines through their employers. Members of Congress fired off letters demanding immediate explanation, and the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention reminded state and city officers of the need to make sure that the most vulnerable people get their shots first. Joining us on our newsmaker line here this evening is Robert Green, who is the CEO of Fraser Foods, a large grocery concern throughout the Southeast and the Southwest, to talk about this issue and other health issues from the standpoint of being an executive, of being a business leader, the head of a company. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Phil. It's an important topic.
You saw this story, and why would Wall Street bankers or anybody in a position of relative social or economic power, why would they have access to the flu vaccine more so than people who have a real health risk?
It's not an unfair question, Phil, but I think it's one that has to be answered in a sober and in an intelligent way. I don't think that there's any anyone listening to your program tonight that would doubt or disagree with me. When I say that people who are in a position to run the economy, run the country, lead during times of danger, lead during times of crisis. In other words, people who, to use a manner of speaking, people who have got keys to the car, people who have got the keys to the vault. I don't think there's any question that we need to protect those people, because if we lose those people, obviously we've got quite a calamity. And that's all that meant. It didn't mean that we're going to try to kill orphans or kill old people.
Well, then you think there's something to this story that that Wall Street bankers had more access to the flu virus, or excuse me, the flu vaccine?
Well, I hope they don't have more access to the flu virus.
No, I'm sorry, I misspoke. To the flu vaccine.
Well, I don't know where they would have extra access, unless of course there was a logical, some kind of an emergency plan that was put together by the various concerns, economic concerns on Wall Street, whether they're bankers, whether they're stockbrokers, a contingency so that if the flu became pandemic in New York City, that those people who were really on the switches and on the levers of keeping New York City running, that they would have full access to the flu vaccine. And would be protected, because you can well imagine the panic and the mayhem that would strike were the leaders in our society struck down. Do they get to have the flu vaccine before a child? Do they get to have the flu vaccine before an elderly old lady or anyone that's vulnerable? I think that's a stretch. I think if push came to shove.
Well, let's say push did come to shove. And you've got an epidemic. and you have either children who need to be inoculated or bankers and these people that you say have their hands on the switches and on the levers, what decision do you make?
Well, it's a tough decision. There's no question about it. Do you let a child die? No, you don't let a child die. Do you let an elderly person die? That's a judgment call.
You say a child doesn't die.
You don't let children suffer. If take the child out of the equation and put the banker next to an elderly person. Now, if you're asking me, Bob Green, what is the call that I'd make if I were in charge of the New York City Health Department and there was an epidemic loose in the city and I needed to inoculate people and I've got an old, you know, an old lady or an elderly lady and I've got the head of one of the largest financial concerns in New York. You're asking me what I would do? I would have to opt for the head of the financial concern.
You would inoculate the guy who runs the bank.
Yeah, but I told you I would inoculate the kid before either one of them. So the kid comes first, then the banker, and then an old, you know, what do you want to call it, the old lady. It's a tough call. There's no question about it.
Now, you're using as your rationale their relative value to society.
Question. I think you have to go that. I think you have to walk down that road, as dark and as frightening and as unlit as that road is, as fraught with peril as that road may be, with the potholes of indecision and the muggers of fear. I think you got to walk down that road. I think you've got to go down that road, and you can't wet yourself when you're going down that road. You have to make some tough decisions. And so I think that that is what was on the minds of some of the people in New York when they were talking about, well, who should have the flu vaccine? Well, I don't think there's any question that if we had an epidemic, we'd want to make sure the president was protected. We'd want to make sure that our military was protected. We'd want to make sure the president's family was protected. We'd want to make sure the people of Congress were protected, because these are the people that run our country. Then next, okay, then you want to make sure that business leaders, industrial leaders, people to run banks, and that would include someone like myself because I run a major company. Okay, then we're protected. Then you come to the next level, and that would be you and the people that are listening right now. Okay, number one, obviously the families of those industrialists, my family, my wife and my children, and then our extended families, and then you get to people that we don't know or not related to. And I would start there with, obviously, you're going to start with kids. And then you go to the last people, I think, Phil, that get inoculated are old people. And only because, and I say this, and I know that I'm in trouble saying this.
Well, it doesn't sound very sensitive.
Well, I know, but I got to ask, what good are they? They're good. We love them. Of course we love them.
What good are they?
No, but you're getting way ahead of me here. I'm not saying that they are worthless. I'm saying if you told me who's the most important person in our society, I'd say it's the president. And I'm a Republican, by the way. Then you go down the order and you come to me or other industry leaders, and then you have little children, and then at the bottom would be old people. But I would hope we'd have enough vaccine for them if we didn't.
Well, you're I'm asking you some questions that are probably not fair because you're not the president, you're not the head of the health department, you're just a business owner.
Well, I'm a business owner. I've got some 3,000 employees.
All right, you've got a lot of employees, and maybe this isn't fair, but what you've just outlined to me is if we had an epidemic and we had a limited amount of flu vaccine, the bottom rung of people who would get inoculated last would be the elderly. And you say, because, quote, what good are they?
Phil, I didn't say that.
Well, that's the phrase you used. Maybe you didn't mean to say it.
All right, I didn't mean to say that. If I could take it back, I'd like to. I'm saying the elderly are at the bottom because of all the people in our society, they consume more and put out less, I guess, is what I'm saying.
But what about the lives that they've led? You know, what about...
Oh, well, if you want to start talking, and I don't know. What are you telling me? Okay, one of them may be a World War II veteran. I understand that. And if you wanted to separate them out, all right, I'd be happy with that. But what if you had an old person that wasn't ever in the military and really didn't do much of anything other than, take up, you know, how do I say this, take up space? Then I think those are the ones that you've got to... And I don't want to put it this way, those are the ones you got to throw to the wolves. But this is a worst-case scenario.
All right. Well, it is a worst-case scenario, talking about whether we have enough flu vaccine. But I think that when you say, you know, they take up, how did you put it?
The ones, they consume a lot, and they put out really nothing other than, what does it cost to rent a lawn bowling area for a Saturday? That's what they spent.
I don't understand.
In other words, the elderly don't contribute except the money they spend on renting, for instance, the space to go lawn bowling. All right, that's significant. I suppose if you added that up across the country, that would be a lot of money, but nowhere near as much as what...
What does a little kid put out?
Well, little kids are the potential. You see in them an individual you'll be able to work and get out of them what you put into them eventually. It's going to take a few years, but you know you're going to see a return on the investment. With an old lady or what, you know, like an old lady or something, you put a lot in.
But you realize, are you listening to yourself?
I am, Phil, and I apologize, but you put me in the position of having to answer.
No, I know, but the way you're answering the question, you're listening to yourself. Everything boils down to the value of a person in terms of what you put in, what you get out.
You asked me if we had an epidemic and people were dying, who do we give the vaccine to first? I said it starts with the president, and then little kids, then myself and other business leaders, and then old ladies. Or not old ladies, but you know. But I... Again, this goes to the whole Wall Street question.
All right. Well, Bobby, answer the questions fairly, I think, but I didn't think that I would hear quite that batting order, if you will. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Robert Green. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods. It's a pretty significant grocery chain throughout the Southeast and the Southwest. The question here is, born of this story about flu shots for Wall Street stirs ire in New York, do bankers and do the moneyed business and industrial leaders, do they get the flu shot first and then it filters down through the rest of us? And Bob pretty much said government first, then children, then, yes, bankers and industrial leaders, and the last are old people who put out less than what it takes to keep them alive, I think is the way he put it. And I'm sure he's going to be upset with me.
Well, you got to be fair.
I think I was fair. I think I characterized his comments fair. 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Robert Green here in our hour on the flu virus, the flu vaccine, and who gets it and who doesn't. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I think you were very unfair.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, talking with Robert Green from Fraser Foods on the swine flu story from New York. This is a swine flu vaccine story that had some people upset because it was said or it was leaked or it was otherwise rumored that Wall Street heavies, bankers and so forth, would have access to the swine flu vaccine while others didn't, Bob. And whether that's true or not, you agree with the thinking, don't you?
No, I think you misrepresent me, Phil. I said that I think the first people who ought to get the swine flu, other than the president and the leaders, then little kids. And I'm a big believer in little kids, and you got to give it to little kids, because if you don't, obviously you're going to have one of the problems you'll have, obviously, is with a lot of the liberals in government will say that you're being cruel to kids, and It's a battle you don't want to fight. And I do believe in kids. I do. But yeah, the pressure is there anyway.
Well, what are you saying? If there wasn't political pressure to give vaccine to children, you wouldn't do that?
You know, you're not going to back me into that corner, Phil. I'll simply say that I would give the vaccine to children to keep to keep them healthy and to keep a lot of the liberals' mouths shut, obviously, yeah. The second group you give it to are, look, I just saw Goldman Sachs posted $2.7 billion profit last quarter. Do you want him to die from swine flu, the guy that runs Goldman Sachs? I don't think you do. So you do give the swine flu vaccine, I think, to the business leaders, and then you'd have to put last on that list, I think, the old people, only because, and I'm not saying I want them to die, but if somebody had to die, if it was an epidemic like you're saying, and someone had to die, I think we'd all would rather see old people die than a little tiny, you know, than a little child.
I don't think I'd rather see that at all.
I know you got to be politically correct in what you say.
No, I'm not being politically correct. I don't think, when you say I'd rather see old people die, I don't think I would. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. And we have Martha on the line. Martha, you're on with Robert Greene here on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, ma'am.
I'm a 76-year-old lady. I run a 4,000-acre farm. I donate to charity. I'm very active. And frankly, I think I'd do a little more for the people of the United States than Goldman Sachs. But, I love the beauty of it.
Well,
if anybody's got to die, let the old ladies die. I think that's hilarious.
Well, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to say that. I meant you
just said it, my friend.
Well, I know I said it, but would you disagree with the logic of it, is what I'm saying.
This woman said she's 76 and she runs a farm.
Well, she says she runs a farm, but that probably means what do you do?
What I do is donate to children's charities. I make quite a bit of money on my farm. I pay my own way. I have my own insurance. I'm not on Medicare or Medicaid. And I think that I contribute just as much as Goldman Sachs, and I do not get a huge bonus for doing nothing. I work every day.
Let me ask you this. If you had swine flu, all right, and I don't know why you get it, because you can afford the virus. I mean, you can afford the vaccine, so you should be able to have it. I'm talking about a lot of these old people that, I don't know what you want to call it, who are the ones they're always saying need it?
Elderly people are at risk because of their health, yeah.
All right. Well, she's not going to get it because she's got, she's got enough money to get the vaccine.
No, you don't, because I can't even, everybody is out of even the regular flu vaccine. They haven't gotten enough of it.
If anybody on your farm dies from swine flu, it's going to be, the Mexicans you got working in the barn or something.
I do not have Mexicans.
What does that mean? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, she knows what I mean. It's going to be the ones that are sleeping out in the bunkhouse or whatever you got. But I mean that the ones that I really, between you and me, ma'am, I think you, yes. Now, when they say to me, you got to get the vaccine to the kids, of course, but the reason why we have to is because a lot of these liberals are going to scream if you don't. You understand
I'm not at all a liberal.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that, Bob. Are you saying that you've got to vaccinate children, otherwise liberals will scream?
I think there is a feeling in this country that you got to vaccinate children so you don't look like Ebenezer Scrooge, I think most adults, if they had a choice, I think this lady agrees, if most adults had a choice, they'd vaccinate themselves first and then the kids. But they got to go.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all. Parents would vaccinate their children.
And the people that work for me, they have been vaccinated because they contribute something.
Do they sleep in a bunkhouse?
You forget about a bunkhouse.
I want to ask you something. You vaccinated yourself or you didn't? Did you?
No.
Then that's good. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay, so as far as you're concerned, it's a good thing she didn't get it.
Well, yeah, she's elderly, and the guy in the bunkhouse got it before her. That's all I'm saying.
All right, look at Martha, thank you, and good luck on your, it sounds like a nice place that you got there, your ranch. Thanks so much. 877.
Well, I don't understand. What are you laughing at?
She was laughing. She was having a good time with it. The fact that I guess maybe she's old. She realizes
she realizes that her days are numbered. You think that's funny? I'm the guy saying that she doesn't get the vaccine. She's laughing because she hasn't had the vaccine. So she's laughing in the face of death, and you don't. She gets it, and I get it. You don't.
No, I get it, too. We'll be back with Robert Greene on the flu vaccine. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
On the line with me, Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. And this discussion, Bob, you know, obviously there's going to be people hearing what you're saying about the flu vaccine. And even though the story about Wall Streeters, these bankers getting the flu vaccine over other people may or may not be true, you feel that there is some legitimacy in considering that class of people.
Well,
but more to the point, the comments you made, not to interrupt you, Bob, but more to the point, the comments you made about the elderly and little children.
I said that I think kids should get the vaccine.
Yeah, but you also said that, frankly, they don't contribute. Old people don't contribute.
No, the point that I'm making here, look, it's still, I'll give it to you as simply as I can. Who do you think my top customers are? Who do you think the best customers I've got are?
The best customers you have?
Yeah.
I guess people that have families.
Exactly. These are middle-aged to younger parents. Those are the ones that are my best customers. If old people stop coming into my store tomorrow, the worst thing that's going to happen is I got to rip out my fiber aisle, for instance, or I don't sell as many bananas. Any fruit that obviously keeps your regular, you're not going to sell a lot of that. You're not going to, your pharmacy, I can cut the pharmacy in half, and that's it. If little kids stop coming into my store tomorrow, nothing happens. I still sell as much candy, I still sell as much gum, I still sell as much of that, I don't want to call it crap, but you know the crap I'm talking about, Pop-Tart crap. The adults buy all that, too. So that is where I make my decision. Okay, take away the little kids, take away the old people. Is Bob Greene still rich? Yes. And that sounds insensitive? Yes, I know it does. It perhaps sounds too practical? Yes, I know it does. And yet, can you deny the arithmetic? That's all I'm saying.
As a result, you deny flu vaccine.
I'm not going to deny it if there's enough. No, I wouldn't. But if there isn't enough, you got to look at. I know that people don't want to see little kids die, but I got to do what I got to do. You know?
What does that mean? You got to do what you got to do.
I got to do what I got to do.
877-876 Phil. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Jay on the line in Boston tonight. Jay, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene.
Hi. You know, I just want to.
Yes, say, ma'am.
I think this guy sounds really ignorant and prejudiced, because how are you
prejudiced?
That
I didn't say anything about black people.
How is he talking about the people in the financial district or whatever should get this vaccine first? I mean, I think the vaccine should have been available to everyone, no matter who it is. It should have been available from day one to everyone. You know,
That wasn't the case. So now what do you do? You got to figure out who contributes and who's the most valuable.
I think everyone in society is valuable. Who are you to dictate who you think is more valuable than anyone else?
I mean, that sounds very nice, and I, you know, in a perfect world, I'm sure you're right. But let's face it, you know and I know that there are some people that just sit around and don't do anything, right?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they sit around and do nothing at all. It doesn't matter. The vaccine should still be
available. Why? If somebody, all they're doing is copping welfare checks, no offense, I don't know.
All right, let's get off. Let's get off of that.
Wait a minute. Why do they get to have it, and a guy that, you know, is working, he doesn't get to have it?
Nobody's saying that no one gets to have it. You're saying that...
You asked me if we didn't have enough flu vaccine, who gets it and who doesn't. I say, personally, just Bob Greene, I say the president gets it, and he's black, so I'm not prejudiced. And then the government, and then, yes, I would, and my family,
But if you have you even listened to yourself? You're saying you're not prejudiced. You're prejudiced against everybody that's not rich. That basically that's what
you're saying. I'm saying the practicality.
The rich people should get the virus first. Come on. I work with the homeless population. You know what I'm saying? I work with the homeless population. So basically what you're saying is that you don't think that I or the homeless people that I serve should get this vaccine before the rich people on Wall Street.
Here's how I figure. If the guys on Wall Street don't get the vaccine, they die. They don't make their charitable contributions for tax deductions. You don't get money to run your homeless foundation, and they die anyway. See?
Again,
yeah.
It doesn't matter who contributes to society or not. It should be available to everyone. There shouldn't be any order of who gets it first and who gets it last. Look what you said about the old people. They would be the last on your list. Come on, so you're saying that your mother would be the last on your list, correct?
Well, my mother's dead, and so I wouldn't have to make that decision. I would have to make that decision with my father. And if it came down to either me or my dad, of course I'd choose me.
Are you kidding?
Wait a minute.
I want to know.
If
there was a choice between you getting the vaccine and your father.
Listen to the two of you. Well, why don't you check with the Padre on your way out? He'll punch your ticket. You know what I'm saying? You're saying to me, Henry,
I'm just listening to what you're saying. Your father needs the flu vaccine and you need it. You'd take it.
He's 87 years old. Are you kidding me? What's he going to do with it?
Where did you find this person? Oh, my gosh. He is ridiculous. He's crazy.
All right. So you're telling me, a young woman, that if you get to have the flu vaccine or some little kid that's got chocolate wiped all over his face, you're saying he gets it instead of you.
The kid should get it first.
Children first. Children all the time, yeah.
Children, that makes a lot of sense.
First.
All right, you may be right. But it doesn't make any sense.
People, we wouldn't even be here.
I got to do what I got to do.
We wouldn't be here.
What's that mean? Without the elderly, we wouldn't be here.
Your father? Your mother?
My mother's not elderly. She's dead.
All right, your father.
Well, he couldn't make me without a woman. Yeah, I got you, didn't I?
No, you didn't get me. You sound like an idiot, is what you sound like. Thank you very much, Jay, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Jonathan in Wichita, Kansas. Jonathan, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Greene. Go ahead, sir.
I just want to tell this man how much I think, you know, this is a bunch of dang horse manure, saying that these rich people are going to get this flu vaccine before, you know, any of the regular people out there, you know. You know, they get all these dang bonuses and whatnot, and, you know, they already make about a ton of money, and, you know, we're just going to give them another bonus. We just might as well just, you know, give them all the bonuses we can.
This is a kid that works for me. That's not a very good accent, Jonathan.
You know him?
Yeah, it's bad call.
All right, anyway, thanks, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Dan. Dan, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you.
This gentleman you got on the phone, I was listening to him when he was speaking about the order he was going to give out the medicine. And I don't know if you caught this, but he said, you know, the president and all, and then him, because he's a businessman, and then
his immediate family,
and then the people that he knows, and if you don't know them, oh, well. And he said that just like that. Well, first of all, he's expendable.
Well, are you telling me that you...
No, wait just one minute. Let me finish.
I own a business.
Right. You run a business. That's fine and dandy. But if you're gone,
exactly,
somebody else can step in and run that business. An elderly person is the people that paved the way for you to have that business. If anyone deserves it, it's the ones that paid their dues and their time and their life.
If an elderly person dies, there's like 10 more to take his place.
Wait just one minute. There's no one to take their place. They've already made their mark.
Are you kidding?
And done what they're supposed to do in life to make you where you are.
You're telling me that if an old person dies, we don't have six more to take his place.
You're not listening to this man. He's saying that that elderly person is a valuable person, might be a war veteran. He might be a...
Here we go with the war veteran. All right, so the war veteran...
Wait one minute here. I think the vaccine should be passed out to the people that need it and the most vulnerable. And people like you and me should step back
I'm vulnerable.
And wait and should step back and wait and see.
No, but I feel I'm the... I'm vulnerable.
How are you vulnerable?
With your attitude, you are very vulnerable. And number one is because...
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, if you caught the virus and you died, do you think that your business would fold up and disappear? No, sir.
Yes.
Your CEO would step in. Somebody would step
in. I am the CEO. There's nobody that can run Fraser Foods. I've got one partner. I got a partner by the name of Jim Dugan. He couldn't wipe without me standing around.
You are a very arrogant person. And let me.
I'm telling you.
How old are you?
37.
Are you very healthy?
Am I healthy? Yeah, I'm healthy.
Then you should be the last one to get the vaccine.
Even though I'm healthy, if I die, then Fraser Foods goes under.
If Fraser Foods goes under, then Brown will step in and make it Brown's Foods. It won't stop
Brown
because you're gone. Do you think that you're the son?
You know, there's a reason, sir, why there's no grocery chain called Brown. You know what that is? Because it's not.
I just used that hypothetically. I'm just trying to let you know, in your arrogance, that you are not unreplaceable. You are a person just like the rest of us. You know, and I think
I can't understand you. Your phone's breaking up. And that's another thing. Your phone, is indicative of you. You bought a cheap phone, and you're saying you're better than me, that I should not get the flu vaccine, you should. I think a guy with a lousy phone doesn't deserve the flu vaccine. Why? He made a bad decision. It's possible he's made other bad decisions.
Oh, get out of here, will you? This asinine attitude about the flu vaccine. Here's the bottom line for me.
No, I know the bottom line for you. Old people and little kids. Why? Because that's politically correct. Your audience wants to hear it, and you'll get more advertisers. But I know what you know, Mr. Henry, that if push came to shove, and if the world was, in a state of collapse because of the epidemic, you would rather see 10, 15 kids drop dead before you missed out on your shot.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so, man. Thank you for your call, sir. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. I know you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. See, I'm willing to say what I feel is true. But a lot of you guys, because you want to be what do you call politically correct, I want the kids to survive. I do want kids to survive, Phil. There's nothing more valuable in this world than children. But if you're telling me it's me or a kid, you're asking me to commit suicide then, and that's against God's law.
When did you get religious?
Just now.
877-876-PHIL. Thanks a lot.
You hung up on the Fraser Food. Your case is sponsored.
The former New York madam, Kristen Davis, explains how she would charge for her services. And guess what? Some of the clients, according to her, were Wall Street bankers and Wall Street brokers. Here's an investment banker from Lehman Brothers who saw Kelsey and Keeley together and later saw Aria and Skyler at the same time. An investment banker at J.P. Morgan Securities who loves Brooke. He spent $41,000. An investment banker at Goldman Sachs who only wanted All-American girls and spent $27,000. A managing director from Merrill Lynch who saw Lana using the name Natalie. A managing director, was it that the name he was using? Because that's frightening me as well. A managing director from Deutsche Bank who called about seeing Natalie again. And he didn't know, the manager at Deutsche Bank, that he would actually be seeing the managing director from Merrill Lynch. And he showed up with the name Natalie. See, it's weird. A spokesman for J.P. Morgan said the company is looking into the matter, and that spokesman, he liked Natalie too. Now, I'm kidding about that last part, but the point is, there's guys that go to prostitutes, and they work for investment banks, and they spend a lot of money. Did that have anything to do with these banks going belly up? I doubt it seriously. However, it does speak to the mentality, to the culture, the corporate culture that we talk about. that exists not just on Wall Street, it exists all over America. How do I know? Wouldn't you like to know?
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show with this story. Maybe a first, a Wisconsin woman called 911 to report a drunk driver. Guess who the drunk driver was? Guess who the drunk driver was that this lady was calling in to report?
911.
Somebody's really drunk driving down Granton Road.
Which way are they going?
They are going...
Towards Granton or towards Neillsville?
Towards Granton.
Okay, are you behind them or...
No, I am them.
You am them?
Yes, I am them.
Okay, so you want to call and report that you're driving drunk?
Yes.
Okay, what's your name?
Are you kidding me?
Mary.
Okay, hold on 1 second, Mary, okay?
Okay.
Are you still driving right now?
Yes.
Do you want to stop driving before you get in an accident?
Yes, I will stop.
Where's my retarded baby?
Right now?
Okay, I'm stopping.
Okay. What's your last name, Mary?
Sorry.
Are you stopped right now?
Yes, I am.
What kind of vehicle do you have, Mary?
I have a Saturn. Can I take my seatbelt off?
If you're stopped.
If I'm stopped.
If you're stopped, that's fine, yeah.
I'm in park.
Okay.
Can I take my seatbelt off?
Yeah, as long as you're not driving, as long as you're not moving.
Should I turn my car off and turn the flashers on?
Yep, that's fine. If you want to turn it off and turn the flashers on, so then we can find you. Okay, just hold on 1 second again, Mary, okay?
Okay.
Oh, isn't she sweet?
She's an idiot.
She's calling in to say that she's drunk.
Did you ever smoke, Wolf?
No, not really.
I got to hear that again. I'm sorry.
911.
Somebody's really drunk driving down Granton Road.
Which way are they going?
They are going...
Towards Granton or towards Neillsville?
Where are they going?
Towards Granton.
Okay, are you behind them or...
No, I am them.
You am them?
Yes, I am them.
Okay, so you want to call and report that you're driving drunk?
Yes.
Okay, what's your name?
Mary.
Okay, hold on 1 second,
all right,
Mary.
Okay?
Okay.
Good girl, Mary. Although, I don't know. So the story goes, according to the released 911 tape you just heard, Mary Stray of Granton, Wisconsin, called in. She said, I am them. The dispatcher then directed Stray to stop driving and pull over. The 911 call has been posted online. You've been listening to it. According to the police report, Stray had bloodshot eyes and smelled of alcohol. She told the officer, I called in, I'm drunk. The Wausau Daily Herald reported that Stray was cited and charged with drunk driving and operating with a blood alcohol level of 0.1% or more. Boy, that's strict, isn't it? What is the, well, you know what, I think it's 0. I never have this right because I don't drive drunk.
Yeah, right.
I don't. 0.08 in California, and in Wisconsin, obviously, it's 0.10, so it's slightly more liberal. An initial court appearance is scheduled for December the 10th. Clark County Sheriff's Deputy Jim Backus said to the newspaper that calls of people reporting themselves are rare, and he couldn't recall other drunk drivers turning themselves in to police. Last month, a man in Minnesota was charged with drunk driving in a motorized Lazy Boy chair. The police have now put the chair on eBay with the proceeds going to the police, the state, and the prosecutor's office. What is it with people, man, who are always trying to motorize things? I always notice this. They want to motorize either a chair or they'll motorize a baby carriage or they'll motorize a wagon or something. And then they're always caught drunk driving it.
Yeah, I think because of the stress.
Yeah, you know, of building it. The stress of building what?
The stress of building a... like a baby carriage that can drive, you know, like a car.
So they go out and they get drunk?
Yeah, it's a way of, you know.
Or they'll celebrate. Like, look at this. I made a baby carriage going to drive. I can drive, I'm driving a baby carriage. And so they're going to celebrate, so they get hammered, and they get into their baby carriage, and they go out and they drive in it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense at all, man. I think it's something about boredom and depression. I don't know what it is. Although those guys that took off in the balloon, like that hot air balloon.
The kid, you think he was drunk?
Not the kid. The guy, the lawn chair guy.
Oh, yeah. But
That was a great story.
We were talking a lot about the guy, and I didn't mention it on the air. After that little boy took the balloon, or didn't take the balloon ride, but we thought he did, everybody started remembering the lawn chair guy. And if you look him up, he's on online. Wikipedia's got a biography. It's actually one of the few biographies on Wikipedia that's accurate. This guy built a, well, basically, he attached a bunch of weather balloons to a lawn chair. And then he took off in this lawn chair and floated somewhere above Long Beach, California, I think about 10,000 feet, whatever elevation he could go to and not need oxygen. And he had a pellet gun, and he would use the pellet gun to shoot out the balloons to lower his elevation. Well, the problem is the pellet gun, the wind kicked up, and the pellet gun flipped out of the chair. So he had to wait for these things to sort of depressurize on their own, and he wound up dropping on some power lines, which he was okay. He lived, but he didn't live much longer after that. I guess he just got bored. Anyway, we'll be back here with Jack Armstrong on the great performance of Ford. How much is Obama's action? How much of that should... Well, you know what I mean.
Phil Hendry.
You blew it.
How much should Obama be praised for? Network.com.